And so now we're going to be talking with Representative Ken Buck. And what I'd like to start off with is just saying to everybody that, look, there's always something more to the story. And that, you know, I personally know that politics, it's a brutal blood sport, and that sometimes to win the war, you have to be strategic. So I'm not quite ready to get out my pitchfork yet. But I do want, you know, to Representative Buck to help us understand how a vote for Boehner was strategic, and that when it comes time for him to push back against the Obama agenda, how will he do that, even if it means voting against Representative Boehner and the leadership? And I congratulate you, Representative Buck, for your big win, and I really appreciate being willing to come on the show. And so with that, Ken Buck, Representative Buck, it is all yours.
Well, first, Nancy, it's Ken. It has been in the past, and I hope it will be in the future. Let's get some background here. When I showed up in November for orientation, we had elections for Speaker and Majority Leader and others. Nobody in the House at that point stood up and said, I'd like to be Speaker. The freshmen that came back here don't know many of the members who ran yesterday and didn't have any opportunity to learn much about them. And so the effort to become Speaker was a last-minute effort. It was poorly planned, poorly designed, and poorly executed. The two candidates who called me about 40 hours before the vote, one of them received two votes, his own vote and a vote from one other person, and the other one received three votes, two votes from other people and his own vote. There was one other candidate, Daniel Webster from Florida, and Daniel Webster, Congressman Webster, has a Heritage Action score of 60% and a Freedom Works score of 63%. And that is not the sort of conservative history that I'm looking for in voting for someone to vote against Speaker Boehner. So it was really a protest vote by individuals that were upset with the Cromnibus and upset with other issues that Speaker Boehner had been in favor of. And I don't have a problem with a protest vote if I know more of what's going on and I have been here and learned really what's behind the scenes. And so when I looked at my opportunity to serve on important committees and do important work for the 4th Congressional District and looked at the downside of casting a protest vote, I felt that it was not a well-designed plan and something I should get behind. I have had opportunities to speak to the Speaker. I've had opportunities to do certain functions with leadership that I've declined to do, and I've turned down committee assignments because I don't believe that I am going to be the vote that leadership is going to be able to count on in certain situations, and I've tried to be very upfront with them. But this plan was just not a good plan.
Right. Well, you see, and that's the thing, Ken, you know, as Robert and I were talking last night, you know, there's always more to the story. And we were also talking about it seemed that maybe, because there wasn't really one standout person that was presented as an alternative, a strong alternative. And so as much as I dislike John Boehner, if I was in the same situation, brand new, and I'm just being honest, you know, and I'll probably get some interesting Facebook messages from this, but I don't know if I would have cast a vote against either because, again, like you said, it's a protest vote. I think if there would have been a strong alternative for everybody to rally behind, that would have made a difference. And so given that, though, I still think people want to know that as these things come before us, and there's a lot of stuff that's going to happen this next year, can they count that when John Boehner's negotiated some crazy compromise with President Obama, will you cast the vote against that?
Well, I'm going to look at every vote on an individual basis, and the fact that President Obama is for something doesn't make me against it, especially in the foreign policy area. If he were to take a strong stand against Russia or against Iran or against some area, I'm certainly not going to vote just because President Obama is for something.
Right.
But I absolutely will not compromise my core principles. But, Nancy, let me make one more point, if I can. The people that also voted for Speaker Boehner, Mick Mulvaney from South Carolina, had a 91% Heritage Action score. Jim Jordan, 90%. Raul Labrador, 82%. Trey Gowdy, 87%. And Trey didn't vote, but said that if he had voted, that's how he would have voted. He was caught in a snowstorm. Trent Franks, 96%. Tom McClintock, 90%. Matt Salmon, Jeb Hensarling, all people that conservatives across this country respect and look up to, and they saw through this plan and decided not to vote. And this was this effort fell 11 votes short. It's not as if Ken Buck had voted for something, it would have passed, and my ability to get important conservative legislation passed would have been hindered for no good purpose.
Right. So again, I guess I'll circle back. So again, and I don't think people expect you to vote against everything that President Obama proposes just because it's President Obama. I think what people are looking for, though, is if Speaker Boehner crafts some compromise with President Obama on amnesty or spending that really goes against many of these limited government principles and so forth, will you cast the vote against that compromise, even though Speaker Boehner will be pressuring you to vote for it? I think that's what people are looking for.
Absolutely. And the Speaker and the leadership team know that they cannot count on me when they move to the middle, that I will be voting against leadership's efforts in certain areas, and it especially is true when it comes to the fiscal issues, the appropriations bills, and the regulatory issues, and I include Obamacare in that. But absolutely, the people in the 4th Congressional District can count on Ken Buck to be with the conservative votes when it comes to the bills that are coming up in the future.
Okay, well, that's fair, and I think that really what we have to do right now, Ken, is just like we do with all the other elected officials, just really watch and see, do your words match up with your actions? And I think that's the fair approach. And so what I would also, you still have some time here, is then what are the things that you would like to try to push through in your first year in office that you think you can get pushed through, even with Speaker Boehner in the leadership role?
Yeah, and I don't see Speaker Boehner as trying to stop the things that I'm trying to accomplish. I would like to see regulatory reform. I continue to hear from the people in the 4th Congressional District the burdens that the EPA has placed on them, the burdens that the IRS has placed on them, OSHA, and so many other agencies. And I want to see action in that area, and I am going to work with others to do my very best to have regulatory reform. I think it's a crime that the Army Corps of Engineers has wasted 10 years in not approving the Northern Integrated Supply Project application. I feel the same way about the Chatfield Reservoir application. That's been 18 years now. We've got to find ways to not allow the federal government to hold up progress in important water projects and other important areas. And so I'm going to work very hard on those issues. The Republican Party in the House, and I believe in the Senate, are going to take up important things on Obamacare and tax reform and energy policy. We should be passing the Keystone Pipeline bill out of the House by the end of next week and sending that to the United States Senate. I think it'll get passed by the Senate. I think it'll be on the president's desk. For the first time, this president is going to have to make very difficult choices with bills that are sent to him by Congress over and over again.
Right. Well, actually, he will now have to actually pick up that pen and do his veto, where before he really had a pass because he didn't have to worry about the bills getting to his desk because of Senator Harry Reid, they never made it to his desk. And so he didn't have to really face those difficult choices, like you say.
Right. Exactly, and he will, and it will define his presidency. And if we had gotten into a leadership battle, it would have taken 5 or 6 months for that battle to really have worked its way through the system, and we have lost 5 or 6 months of time that we have controlling the House and the Senate. So important to get to work right now, roll up our sleeves, and send bills to the president.
Right, and then, you know, the other issue is, I know there's a lot of people that weren't happy with the Cromnibus spending bill that was passed, you know, and I'm one of them. Can you share, do you think that there's a way that you got, that the Congress, that the House is actually going to do real work on a budget with enough, in enough advanced time so that everybody has an appropriate amount of time to really look at what is in these massive spending bills, massive budgets that get passed, so that there's, everybody has time to, you know, like a Representative Buck to look at this and go, whoa, why are we funding this? We need to pull that out. Do you see any changes for that coming?
Well, Nancy, it's a great question because most people don't know, and the press has done a miserable job, again, of talking about this, but 7 out of the 11 appropriations bills passed the House. There are 11 appropriations bills that are considered. 7 passed the House, were sent to the Senate during the year in 2014, and Harry Reid refused to address any of those appropriations bills. And that's what caused the Cromnibus. John Boehner gets blamed for the Cromnibus, and certainly he had a hand in crafting it. But if those 7 bills had been addressed by the United States Senate, we would not have had this massive spending bill during the lame duck session.
Well, that's fair, and you're right. The media does do a lousy job of reporting. I would also say, you know, I think the Republican Party could do a better job of getting their message out. And maybe now that someone like such as yourself is in, who recognizes that, maybe you will utilize the tools available to you, like this show, like Facebook, and some other areas, to actually get this information out instead of people having to rely on, you know, what's being reported in the media, which is so unreliable and quite often misses the vast majority of the facts, so you don't really know what's really going on.
Yeah, I am happy to talk to you at any point in time, Nancy, and hope to get on as many radio shows and do as much in terms of the guest columns for the newspapers and the town hall meetings. I want to face people, and especially the people that thought they were being cute and putting ugly things on my Facebook. You know, if you want to say something nasty to me, say it to my face. Don't put something on Facebook. What happened yesterday was just a disgrace. The people who voted, you know, you go to Trey Gowdy's town hall meeting and call him a traitor. Say that he committed treason. That's just ridiculous. And yes, we voted for John Boehner. We thought it was the best path forward, but it is not an act of treason. And it is, it's just silly to use those terms.
Well, you know, again, Representative Buck, I thank you for coming on the program this morning. I would encourage everyone listening, and I'll post the link. There's a good National Review article that explains a lot of what Ken Buck has talked about this morning. We'll all be watching you closely. And, you know, I wish you the best of luck. And, again, thank you for coming on the show today, Ken.
You bet, Nancy. Take care.
Thanks. Well, that was Representative Ken Buck, and I really appreciate that he came on. I do think that there were some information that not everybody was aware of. And so right now we're going to take a break, and then when we come back, I'll be wrapping this up and giving out some more information about this. This is the Amy Oliver Show on 1310 KFK.